Changes are here, and God is still in the throne. He has not changed his address. He still is in the same place, and he's a great God. Amen. Okay, I mentioned to you the title that we're going to look at for the next number of weeks. And this morning is basically, I want to take time just with the area. I want to take time with introduction. When we go through events like what we're presently going through, people always say, well, you know, the Lord's coming back soon. Yes. And Maranatha, amen, he will be returning. And it's the end and the rapture and what have you. Well, that's not what this is about, okay? It's not what this is about. A number of months ago, whenever the COVID first hit, and the lockdown came in, and I was speaking to a number of pastors, and I felt just, we're reading the book of Kings, 2 Kings, so you can read through those stories of all those kings. There's 9 kings mentioned, and 5 of them were assassinated. So it shows you the condition that Israel was in. And then, of course, you could go to the rest of the books of Daniel. We'll look at these things together. But regarding the era we are coming into, and over the months, I've been taking time speaking to quite a few people. Some of them I would hold them very highly in my esteem as men and women of God who would be very much attuned to the times and the seasons that we're living in. And it's interesting, the theme, not one of them that I recall mentioned the second coming, that the Lord's coming next week. By that. Now that could happen, yes. But the theme from most of them was we're coming to the end of what we have experienced in the Western world as a way of living, in government and in lifestyle. Now that's been history. That has been a part of history. And this morning, as we gather together, you are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ throughout the centuries has gone through all kinds of trials. This is not something new. It's just a new name. But the church has faced all kinds of things throughout the years, back even in the Old Testament. But in facing things, it does a number of things to the church. Some are very positive. And some nuts. But if you put it all together, God has a way of working with his church. Church is not about the building. Beautiful facility. Beautiful place. Praise God. Neat, tidy, clean, well presented. You've come into a good place. It's a wholesome place. But you're the church. You're gathered in this facility because God wants to meet with you and me. So let me just open this. We'll say this introduction today, and we'll move our way through it. And we'll just take our time. We open it up and just ask God to minister and to speak and to open up the scriptures. Go ahead. Here we go. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, I mentioned this to you before, but I put it up here for a reason to tie it together to this series. Because the answer is yes, I am. Now, that ties itself in with evangelism. Or your family, or your home, or your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. In days like this, and in times like this, I'm responsible to seek God for the well-being of the nation. I'm responsible. You are responsible. For the well-being of the pastor, his wife, his family, the oversight of myself and Anne, the ministries of the church, and everything involved in the church life here. That's this local church. And from there it goes out then into the streets and into society. Yes, there's a responsibility. I am my brother's keeper. How we speak about each other. We've heard that this morning. I have a responsibility to speak the blessing of God. I have a responsibility in society to be, as a Christian, to pray and ask God to come in the midst of this pandemic and to speak. Now, in saying that, God will not force his will upon us. He won't do it. But if he isn't allowed to rule, he will overrule. Now, you can go through the Bible on this for yourself. I trust you do. In spite of our resistance and rebellion, his will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're accustomed, we know this prayer. His will be done. And through the centuries, in studying this, because I'm spending quite a bit of time on this series, and that means going back over a lot of research, which I'm actually personally enjoying again, because I'm not studying it at the moment just to preach. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm studying because I personally am doing stuff that I've wanted to do for quite some time. I didn't think COVID was going to bring it about, but it's been good for me. I know that. I've been able to research and do things, and I'm building it into what we're doing. And that's healthy. I think it's healthier rather than just prepare to preach. And in looking at that, God will fulfill his will. He will do it. And in through that, nations will pay attention. Now, this sounds very bombastic from a little church, Maranatha, in Waterford in the southeast of Ireland. No, it doesn't matter. I'm speaking of churches across the world, and that comes down to the individual church. That involves us here in Ireland. So in doing that, I want you just to listen to, this is a quote. Now, watch this here, listen. We live in the twilight of a great civilization, amid the deepening decline of modern culture. There's a decline in our culture. Those of us who are over 29 will realize that. There are changes. Sister Pam, you'd agree. You're over 29, I think, just recently there. There is a decline from what we recognize and grew up with, Lucy. You wouldn't even be familiar with what was a culture to us in the 50s or 60s. And for our young people, culture has become a mixture. We can Google it. I didn't know what Google was. We can text. What is that? I remember the first phones coming in without a cord. It had an aerial. It was dynamic. Now the world is a village. A deepening decline of modern culture. Those strange beast empires of the books of Daniel and Revelation seem already to be stalking and sprawling over the surface of the earth. It's a quote from Carl F. Henry, a great theologian, died a number of years ago, but he's a great man, tremendous man, very balanced, but a tremendous, tremendous man of God. And that's a quote from him. Those strange beast empires of the books of Daniel and Revelation seem already to be stalking and sprawling over the surface of the earth. Now, he made that quote in 1988. That's a few years ago. And we've moved on a little bit since then. But if you look around at the nations today, and you look at the empires that are being shaken, everything we have held close in our culture is being shaken. Our streets, the police, law and order, government, everything has been affected in some way in our culture over the last number of years. So in saying that, I think this brings us down here to, if we can get another quote from Richard Cobden. This is about 70 years ago. Maybe no, it's more. Every great nation fell by suicide. Every great nation fell by suicide. They fall from within. We are passing laws that we feel are bringing liberty. They're not. Laws have been passed. They're not bringing liberty. They're bringing a bondage. And the church has a responsibility as we come here this morning as a body of believers partaking of the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the death, burial, resurrection, which is the life-giving authority that we have to be together. We're not here because it's a good idea. We're not here because we have nothing else to do. We're here because of a given authority that's tied into the table, which is the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think, I have an old poem here. So if you don't mind me this morning, this is introduction. Just go ahead, Garrett. This is from a man by the name of Goldsmith. He was an English poet in 1770. This was written during the time building up to the War of Independence when American states wanted to get away from Britain. Now, it's written in Old English. So let me quote it for you. I just enjoy this type of thing, so let me quote it. It's, "Ill fares the land to hastening ills a prey." Now, you've got to catch the way it's written. "Ill fares the land to hastening ills a prey, where wealth accumulates and men decay." He wrote this part of a poem, a number of poems. The British Empire was taking advantage of the colonies, hastening to the prey of everything that was in the colonies, hastening to get their wealth, hastening to grab, hastening to take everything. They were making fortunes out of it. We know the slave trading, we know everything that was involved in it. Where wealth accumulates and men decay. Out of this poem and other poems he wrote, little did the English recognize that in a few years' time, they would not own those colonies. Total disruption. You see, we live sometimes as if we are not accountable. We are. We're accountable to how we live, how we think, how we act. Ill fares the land. Our land today. I don't know where this is all going to take us, this COVID. I don't have a prophetic word on it. I'm living through it. But I know that our land is changing. I know our culture is changing and that life is changing. Just go ahead, Aaron. In Matthew 11:7, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. "What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see?" That's what Jesus asked. He says, "What type of man? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind?" What type of man? I think it was a great question. I'm going to ask you the same question right now. We'll just go to the next slide here. Just let me ask you the question. What type of man, what type of person did you expect him to see? Just go ahead. Instead of bending and blending, do you like that? Like a reed. He stood like a mighty oak. Instead of bending and blending, now, that's what's been happening in church life. There's been a bending, and there's been a blending. And that's a fact. The men have told us this. We're being held accountable for things we've allowed into church life. We're being held accountable. There are things that are taking place in church life. They do not measure up to Scripture. They don't. Oh, I'm being legalist. No, I'm not. I'm being biblical. How's that sound? Let's be biblical. Let's remove, for today, because it's an introduction, let's remove the terms law and grace. Let me remove them, okay? So I've got free ground. Let's be biblical. We bend because we want to blend. The mighty yoke. I thought of this, putting it in. We have a neighbor across the street, Dara. He's a lovely guy. It was obvious to me last year that the other neighbor, Tom, who keeps his property immaculate, that he was not pleased with certain trees that were growing up through the middle of their hedge that separated their property. I said to Anne a couple of years ago, that tree is going to cause severe problems between these two men, and not only that, it's going to destroy that hedge. Okay, you can tell I'm a great gardener. I just watched it. This year, Michael, the fellow who was cutting the hedge for Tom, I saw Tom come out, and they were discussing these trees. Now these trees need to be totally removed, but the whole hedge has to come out. It's a big operation because of the length of it. Now, Dara hasn't come on the scene yet, as far as I know. Mighty Oak, that tree started as a little seed. That little seed has now created an environment between people. They didn't expect this from a little seed, a mighty oak. It's amazing. Now it cannot just be trimmed, it has to be taken out and the whole hedge has to come out. The disruption. I thought it was interesting. It's like a mighty oak. That tree cannot just be pulled out anymore. It's not just a little sprig. You know, in church life, you have to become rooted. You have to become rooted at times like this. Rooted in the Lord and defying the storms of change that rage about him. That's what he did. We need to do it. We need to defy the storms. We're going to be faithful. We're going to be honorable. We're going to be people who are committed. We're people who are dedicated. We're people who are going to serve the Lord regardless of circumstances, regardless of where we're at. We will be planted. We will not be plucked up. We're not going to bend and blend. This is decision time this morning. 26th July 2020. For us gathered together. There's a reason for it. Let me just go with it a moment. As I say, it's introduction. Because when we come to the points we're going to look at, this is very significant on what type of church we are. Daniel 4:32, you will be driven away. This is Nebuchadnezzar. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. That's the NIV. God is in control here this morning. He's in control of nations, governments, empires, rulers. He has a lot of practice, if you don't mind that statement, at dealing with these things. We individually don't. This is new for us. This is my first time facing a pandemic. You can put whatever title on it, but this is the first time I've ever preached with a mask on. And it's the first time, Pastor, I've ever gone into a bank with a mask on, that's for sure. Especially being from Northern Ireland. It's a different day. And here is the most powerful ruler, Nebuchadnezzar, in the world at that given time. And here's God speaking to him. So God has a way of speaking. Should it be whatever president, whatever king, whatever princes, I'm not going to put names. It doesn't matter. God's in control. And the church has been brought back to identifying this. The sovereignty of the law of God and his presence and anointing in the affairs of men. It's shaking. Just go ahead, Herb. Amos 3:6. If an alarm sounds in a city, do people not fear? If disaster overtakes a city, is the Lord not responsible? Book of Amos. Is the Lord not responsible? Just go ahead. In answering our question, responsible, having an obligation to do something or having control over or care for someone. Does God have that obligation? Yes, of course he does. People feel they can live as they want, do as they want, act as they want in the nations, whether you're a Christian, non-Christian, Muslim, Islamic, Hindu, whatever. God still has an obligation. It's his earth. That's what we're battling with today. In many of our churches, they're trying to take this liberty away. And God's observing it. Responsible. God has an obligation. That's actually translated into English, that's the correct word, is an obligation, because God loves us. He's obligated to attend to things, to deal with things. And that comes right down from government down to the individual. I make it very clear. You cannot live as you want, do as you want, and expect to get what you want. That's not how God works. In saying that, let's go move on. In Exodus 15:26, I put an A here, which is just the first part of the verse. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands, the word commands is his wisdom, and keeping all his decrees, that's his word. If you keep God's wisdom functioning in your life, and you keep his word center of your life, he will do things for you. The Bible says it. He will do things for you that you haven't asked for. I like that. I need that. At this present era of our lives, we need God. I don't know about you, but we do. You need your health to be protected. Your mind protected. Your emotions protected. Suicide has gone off the Richter scale. Just this week, a very fine man in Galway, a good friend of mine phoned me. He said, I lost my fishing partner, 67 years of age. Took his life. You say, well, why would you do that at that age? We deal with 16-year-olds that do it. That is becoming a pandemic. The law of God is missing in the nation. The commitment, right? Well, you'll see it as we look at this. Give me five more minutes and I'm finished. Just go ahead, Eric. Exodus 15:26b, the second part of the verse. I will never make you suffer any of the diseases. God told this to Moses. We are living in society and in the world today where disease is rampant. The church needs to take a stand on the authority of the written scripture. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God to protect you, God to be with you, God to surround you. I made the Egyptians suffer because I am the Lord who heals you. We need to stand firm on the miraculous anointing power of the word of the living God. You speak it. You speak it. You speak the authority of God. You speak his word in every situation. Go ahead, Herod. You speak God's word. Amos 3:7, certainly the sovereign Lord does nothing. He does, in other words, he doesn't speak without first revealing. He uncovers his plan to his servants, the prophets. He uncovers it. He doesn't speak. He does not speak until he first uncovers it. He has lifted the cover off something on the nations today. And then he's about to speak. May not be next week. May not be this year. But if you examine the scriptures, he lifts the cover like off the table. And he removes it. He lets us see the condition of life around us. The condition of things. And then he says, now I'm going to speak. Just go ahead. Revelation 19:10, latter part. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit. The word for Spirit there translated as a gentle wind. We're presently in the gentle wind area. Gentle. We haven't come to the storms. We haven't come to the beasts. We haven't come to the dragons, etc., etc., etc. We haven't come. We're in a gentle wind. God hasn't spoken yet. What does it mean? This is the first point we'll look at next week of seven areas, basically, that the world functions within. The first place of compromise is political. We give way. We give way. We do not pray for government. We do not pray for our leaders. We do not pray for our pastors, our leaders, and evangelists, and the church. We let the enemy take authority. It starts in a political arena. Why? Because the politicians do what the people want. You read it in the Bible, it's very clear. 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 5 through 9. I'll look at those verses with you next week, God willing. We look, you will see the people, the people got who they were. Is that what's happening today? Political compromise. Look at the laws that have been passed. Why? Because people are on the streets. I was quite saddened, Pastor. The other night I looked at the news. I'm sure Ron Hassett was too. I saw Ron Hassett's offices in Portland. Smashed to pieces. Naked woman on the streets of Portland, Oregon. I lived there 10 years. I know that very area, beautiful area, right downtown, beautiful parks, leads down into the Columbia River. It's beautiful. Last night, or yesterday, on Friday, I got a phone call from one of the other pastors. He says, Barry White, they have tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars worth of damage start at 9 o'clock at night. They just rampage through the city. It's got nothing to do with black lives or any lives or anything to do with civil, it's just total anarchy and destruction. Something has gone wrong, he says, in the foundational structure of our nation. We're following in the footsteps of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is always what God uses to speak to us, the church. First the natural, then the spiritual. Natural Israel, and here is spiritual Israel. Book of Romans. Political compromise, we have given way. Now, cheer up. It can be changed. You heard it last week in Malawi. One of our pastors, actually taught in a college, theological college, is now president. God spoke to the man. God spoke to him. You will be president. We need this again. We need God to speak. And to bring his power and bring authority and bring the reviving outpouring fire of God upon the earth before the Lord returns. But the Bible says that the presence of the Lord will go throughout the earth before the second coming. What does that mean? What does he mean by that? Just quickly, if you examine the Spirit of the Lord moving throughout the earth, it speaks of the miraculous divine outpouring of God as we saw in the first two chapters of the book of Acts. It'll flow through the streets. Then the end will come, but it'll be a mighty upheaval. I want us to pray. We will not give any more compromise. We will stand firm in our God. Amen. Please stand with me. I want to anoint Pastor on behalf of every one of us here this morning, especially for this morning. I prayed for Hussein, and then I prayed, I phoned him in the car on the way down. So while I anoint the pastor, I can't anoint everyone. So I anoint Pastor Jared, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I speak the blessing of God across this gathering of your people, of the body of Christ here this morning. When you raise your hand, you need God to touch you. Just raise your hand. Amen. Raise your hand. Now, Lord, you see everyone gathered here in unity and in fellowship and in love for one another. That's why we're here. And we want to maintain this. And we want to walk through this series together. That this church will be powerful. And this church will see a demonstration of the glory of the living God. And the streets will be filled with his presence. Now, Lord, we anoint the body this morning. May you go forth with peace of mind, peace in your heart regarding situations around you, and most of all, the peace of God to rest upon you as you sleep. And may you enjoy his goodness as you go about your life day by day this week. And may his presence rest upon you as individuals, and may you be protected from the wiles of the enemy and anything that the enemy has planned. May it be frustrated right now and brought to nothing. And may Maranatha be a blessed community of the body of believers in Waterford, which is part of the church, the kingdom that you give your life for. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Lord bless you.